Well, the Q&A is improvised. We weren't planning to do this, but we have 15 minutes. And there's a roving mic just because there's some people, this is being webcast, so you...
Thank you, Nicholas. One probably question, not question, but probably request for clarification. I think it's very important for the audience to understand the philosophy between one laptop per child rather than one laptop per family or one laptop for several children or the school ownership versus the children ownership, because that has been one of the repeated questions in the past. Could you clarify that?
You always hear from me. Do you? What would you hear from?
I think at least for example, in Uruguay.
One second, wait, you may have to push a button. Do you need to push any for number one? Is that one? One. Okay. Try, just speak and see if it works.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Every country is different. I mean, you've seen Peru and Uruguay. We live in the same industry. We are part of Latin America, and they look to the world. We have to share and do things the best way to improve each level. There's a big discussion in many countries about classrooms, about computer rooms, etc. We found out this is not the first experience in Uruguay. We have many years of experience of classrooms and teachers. And we found out that the appropriation of the project is totally different when kids and teachers have the machines than when they don't have. Obviously, it has to do with the size, it has to do with many things, but the best thing is by far, that every child will have a computer, every teacher will have a computer. There's no motivation in general to go to the computer rooms. All these things that we've seen, we didn't coordinate our presentations, but we also showed no much better attendance, much better reading, even the children with difficulty, they do much better with the computer than without the computer. So this doesn't happen in the computer labs. I think that computer labs is part of history. Once we are reaching this type of pricing for computers,
something that must be bear in mind is that these communities have very ancestral traditions. So they are beginning to figure out ways to own and share at the same time, because they are so poor that they are used to share things. But remember that they work for 4 hours, sometimes at 10 degrees below zero. And it's not easy to get out anywhere. So now they have something to do in-house. But they are finding ways, and we need also to trust their ability. I've seen Mitch Resnick in the agenda for some, I don't think it's tomorrow. And he mentioned something about the systems that are self-organized, and there is potential for self-organization in these communities.
There was a question up here. This, okay.
Thank you for very optimistic presentations. Gives us countries on the waiting list hope, definitely. My question is, in situation when you had connectivity, did the government exercise any sort of censorship?
It's an interesting question because we have a debate now. Our network is called Ceibal Network, right? It's where we said that we reach many places. There's a lot of sharing, people that go to other, have children go to where there is internet, because we don't have internet in all the homes. The network is through the service from the school, our Ceibal Network. Okay, so there we have the only the porno and violence at like any school. The government has decided that once the kid is the owner of the machine, and if he's not connected to the Ceibal Network and he's connected to any internet in a cyber cafe or in any other place, it's the responsibility of the parents. We don't think there should be any list that, apart from the list from the school that existed before in the computer labs. When in the past, when we didn't have this project, the computer labs also had access not to all the areas, particularly love, pornography and violence.
Same in Peru.
It's true. Maybe you could say what country you come from.
I come from Mali. How do you pick the countries that receive the Give One, Get One computers? And also, will in the next G1, will people be able to choose where the XOs go?
In the next G1, we're deliberating that right now as to how people can choose where the countries and if they can do that. And we want it to go to as many countries as possible. In the past Give One, Get One, we chose three countries, one each from Asia, Africa, and this hemisphere, that all qualified by being very poor and the head of state being very enthusiastic. So that's somewhat opportunistic, but that's how we did it the first time. And then we're also focusing on post-conflict countries like Afghanistan, above and beyond the three that I've already mentioned. So in the new Give One, Get One, we will find a way to have people designate.
Thank you. My name is Yop. I'm from Ethiopia. I have a question, both for the Peruvian and the Iraqi colleagues here. This is a very grand scale and a wonderful project, really. I was really moved by the whole presentation. Brief question I have is, has this all been a government initiative, or were you supported partly by other development partners?
In the case of Peru, it has been whole government initiative. We spend more than that in books. So it seems large, and it's actually very large. But yes, the 115 books they get in the machine would be more expensive to make out of paper. So it's really what, just reorienting what we are already spending. And since the children will be using the machines hopefully for 5 years, the cost per child per year is really below underdeveloped countries' averages.
In the case of Uruguay, it's a government initiative, presidential initiative. The interesting fact is that many private companies are helping us to deploy. We are not doing everything. We are defining everything and basically designing. But for example, tech support in many areas is done by private companies at almost pro bono prices. So there is a lot of cooperation of private companies because of the size and the implications of the project.
Yes.
Because I have one question which someone needs to answer.
I think it's working no matter whether you push the button or not. Yeah, I think.
The question is this. It is in the nature of governments to want to control their own purchasing. So they will first inevitably run a pilot study and do a test run and all that stuff. But by the time 155 countries have run pilot studies, we will miss this goal. How do we give it some global certification so that the pilot study that's done in Peru and Uruguay and France is enough for another country to say, well, we don't need to do a pilot study, these countries are obviously working properly. And therefore, it should be certificated that we're in Chinese and that kind of people need to buy them rather than running pilot studies.
Right. Well, it's one of our biggest problems because pilot studies kill us in two regards. One is they require a great deal of attention, and they also are an excuse to do something very small. And when somebody says to me they want to do a pilot, I ask them, you know, if you're putting in a cell phone system, are you really going to pilot the cell phone system? Or if we're putting in electricity, are you really going to pilot electricity? And no. But then if they want to insist on piling it, then we suggest they go to Intel. Yeah, that's what they do. They don't need us.
It's a matter of political decision.
You need people with courage. You need people who will do it at a big scale and do it with courage. And all the tests and all the, you know, rollout, you know, measures. And you have to do everything in a measured and organized fashion.
I think pilot studies are done to cover civil servants' backs. Now, if their banks are covered by some sort of return certification, UNESCO approved. I mean, you know, when you take medicine, you don't move to this study.
Then? Well, one of our people here, and I'm going to introduce some of our people before we break for lunch. So if some of you are in the overflow room, maybe you could come in for a second, because there's an overflow room outside. But one of our people, Antonio Batro, in fact, Antonio, why don't you stand up so people see you? And hey, Antonio is our chief education officer. And Antonio is based in Buenos Aires, and Antonio, amongst other things, gave us the vaccine analogy, that if you do an immunization program, you just don't go and give a vaccine to a few kids to see if it works. You have to immunize everybody. And I think the immunization analogy is a very important one and a powerful one, but we still get countries that want to do pilot projects. So it's inevitable, and we really, you know, are very unenthusiastic and generally will not do it.
One of the problems also is that usually they are trying to cover their backs, so no matter what you do, they will still, it will still be not enough for the ones who want to cover their backs. Hmm. But on the other side, the corrupt ones are ready to run to any project that gives them enough money to cover their backs in a different way. So that's the other side of the picture. So they are looking for projects where they can get a dollar out of each machine or a couple of dollars, and that's why this is not attractive also. And that's the real thing.
Should we get one here? Yes.
By the way, I'm Mike from Afghanistan. Basically, the two successful pilot, well, okay, I won't use the word pilot, implementations, yeah, that we're talking about. You've talked a lot about how you really built a whole ecosystem to create a success. And when I've been digging around trying to find more information to try to guide what's going on in Afghanistan or try to help and support it, coming across the evidence and the information and the reports which we need to share, it's been extremely difficult. And I was wondering, what are you guys going to do and what is OLPC going to do to facilitate the better sharing of this guidance that we need to create successful ecosystems for the implementation to work?
Well, I mean, one thing is to have a meeting like this one and to find out those sorts of things, and we need to do a better job on our website making that stuff available, and we will. And again, meeting people here today and hearing some of these things is just one small step.
It's also important to be careful. Our Minister of Education says that many people, at least in Peru, have the motto, please explain me better so I can be a better opponent for the idea. So many times, no matter how much information you give out, they will be there to find something. For example, G1 had some problems with a sticky keyboard, something like that. I found three reports of a problem with a keyboard looking on internet. What was reported on the blogs of the Peruvian opinion experts? There is a massive fault with the OXO keyboards. What will the government of Peru do when all poor children of Peru will have the sticky keyboards? Three out of 160,000. And that was enough for them to say that a massive fault. No, there is a massive anything. They are just waiting for an explanation so they can become better opponents. So it's, yeah, we have to decide between informing and doing. Yeah. So
that following, Oscar, I want to say, I'm very pragmatic. In everyday deployment, we have a lot of problems. I mean, this is massive, right? So we can hours and hours tell stories about children, about teachers, etc. The easiest way is to come and visit. Right? In today's world, it's much better to spend 3 days going to schools and seeing the teachers and the children and writing papers, and because it wouldn't be serious in many aspects to start writing evaluation on things we've been working for 3-4 months. You can see them, but it's not the qualified type of paper it will be published. So it's much better to visit us.
Okay, let's take one more question before lunch. There's well, whoever has the mic. Go ahead.
¿Me ayudas, Carla? Hola. Soy la maestra Cirla Isiri, coordinadora pedagógica del Plan Ceibal de Uruguay. Y quería agregar algo para apoyar a Miguel respecto al tema de pornografía. Quería decirles que en el sistema educativo uruguayo está previsto...
I'm a coordinator for Plan Ceibal and I would like to support Miguel in talking about pornography.
Está previsto lo que es el trabajo con padres.
In the educational system of Uruguay, it's the work with parents is part of it.
Bien. Antes de que los niños reciban las máquinas, se hacen reuniones con padres y con ellos se trabaja responsabilidades compartidas.
Before children receive the machines, we work with parents in shared responsibilities about the machines.
Dentro de esas responsabilidades está el cuidado de la máquina.
Among them, caring for the machine.
El control de la navegación a internet.
Control of internet surfing.
El chat.
Chat.
Y además se trabaja con los padres en lo que tiene que ver con el uso de la máquina en la familia, gobierno electrónico, por ejemplo.
And also we work with the parents about work with the machine in the family for things like e-government or something like that.
Todas esas actividades no solo se hacen antes de que el niño reciba la máquina, sino que después se continúa trabajando con toda la comunidad.
Not only before they receive the machines, but it's a continuous work when they have it.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Okay, before we break for lunch, just part of the reason to have a meeting like this is for you to meet each other. We have relatively extended lunches. There'll be a reception this evening that'll go on as long as you're willing to stay. I just want to identify some of the people from OLPC who work with us in case you have questions. For instance, Habib, if you could just stand up so I could see you. Dr. Habib is based in Islamabad and also deals with Afghanistan. If you two should speak if you haven't. Rodrigo Arboleda is right here, covers all of Latin America and works out of Miami. Walter De Brouwer, are you here? Walter runs an office in Brussels, deals with the EU and works with Nourish quite directly. Jeff, are you still here? Jeff Mandel? No. Is William here? No. William, you're in the back. Okay. William's in the back. You can see William later, also Latin America. Carla, I saw Carla's here. Carla does the rollouts. She's based in Mexico, but has done Peru, Nigeria, India. What am I missing? Maybe those were the three.
Mongolia.
David Cavallo is your MC this afternoon, so you'll meet him. Are you here, David? You're the back. All of our people are in the back. Okay. So you want to, at any rate. We reconvene, I believe, at 2:30. I think that's the agenda. And lunch is served. It's also a lovely day, and you can take advantage of outdoors as well as indoors, and see you back here at 2:30.